Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Will you stand with me? We're going to read a couple of verses of the Bible. I'm going to start with a scripture that you know pretty well. It's going to be a pretty familiar one, and then we're going to go from there. So this is God's word, and I think it demands our respect and our attention. So let me read this to you. This is John 3, 16. Tim Tebow had it under his eyes when he played football. He made it famous. But anyway, John 3, 16, it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, no, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Yes. Upon arriving at Jesus' burial, Mary and Martha were there, and they met an angel. And the angel said to them this in Matthew chapter 28. This is what the angel said to Mary and Martha as they came to the tomb where Jesus was. "But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where he used to lay.'" And God, this is your word, and we thank you, God, that you sent your only son not to condemn the world, that the world might be rescued through your son. And God, we thank you that your son, Jesus, was faithful to his promise, and God, that he, in fact, bore our sin and sickness on the cross and then was raised again to life. And because of that, each of us can confidently approach his throne of grace because we serve a God who's bigger than any sin or sickness or problem. God, your son bridged the gap between creation and you once and for all so that we could have a relationship with you. And God, we pray that our time together this morning, that we would be challenged and inspired by your word. God, let your word sink deeply into our hearts today. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Today is Easter. You know that already. Today we get to celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is risen. Like, he really is risen. It's crazy. Not only is today Easter and the resurrection, this is actually pretty much the only day for most of us that we can get away wearing pastel colors. So it is both the resurrection and a great day to wear pastels. Enjoy it today only. If you show up, some people can wear pastels, bless your heart. Some people, it's good for Easter. Pastels, that is. I've made a lot of promises in my life. I remember promising my mom and dad, I said, "Mom and dad, if we get a dog, I promise I'll walk the dog every night." I made that promise. I did not keep that promise. I promised my wife last week that I was going to take the trash out during the commercial of the basketball game. I also did not keep that promise. I also promised myself that I would no longer go to Taco Bell. I did not keep that promise. You cannot come out with nacho cheese fries and think I'm not gonna try them. Straight from the devil, nacho cheese fries. Those nacho cheese fries got me to compromise so many values. But the fact is that some promises are just hard to keep. You know, when I promised to walk my dog, I said, "Mom, Dad, if you get a dog, I'll walk it." That was a hard promise to keep. It was a hard promise to keep to take out the trash during commercial. Every dude has made that promise. It was a hard promise to say that I wasn't going to go to Taco Bell in 2018. That did not last very long. But Jesus made a promise that sounded not only difficult to keep, Jesus made a promise that sounded impossible to keep. Jesus told his followers that he was going to die. That's a pretty simple promise to make. I mean, I could make you that promise too. I mean, I'll be on the record right now. I will die. I will keep that promise. Trust me. At some point, probably not soon, but I will die someday. But what makes Jesus's promise kind of absurd, kind of crazy, is that Jesus didn't just promise that he was going to die. We can all make that promise. Jesus promised that not only that he would die, but that he would be risen again. That's a crazy promise. Three times in the book of Matthew, Jesus is quoted as telling his followers that he was going to die and be risen. Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 17, and Matthew chapter 20. And each of those passages say pretty much the same promise that Jesus made to his disciples. And let me read you the Matthew 20 version. They're all just about the same. Matthew chapter 20, verse 18. This is Jesus talking. He says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man," don't you like how Jesus talks like in the third person, like he's the rock, like the wrestler? Yeah. "And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Jesus makes a crazy, absurd promise, and he makes it three different times. You know, if you say something outlandish once, people think you're maybe a little bit odd and maybe just a little bit misinformed. Like if I came up to you and said, "Hi, my name is Michael Jordan," you would be like, "That was weird. Is he okay?" But if I make that same outlandish promise again, you might be saying, "Okay, it wasn't funny the first time." You might be thinking there's something wrong with me. But if I make an outlandish statement a third time, you might be then saying, "Maybe you need to start talking to somebody, Matt. Maybe I can set you up with a good person to hear you out." Jesus makes a crazy, crazy promise three different times that he was going to die and be risen again. And that's how I think Jesus's followers felt. I mean, imagine being one of Jesus's core crew, and Jesus says, "I'm going to get crucified, but it's cool. In 3 days, I'm going to be risen." The first time you hear that, you're like, "That was weird, Jesus. I hope you're feeling okay. We'll talk tomorrow." A couple days go by, Jesus says, "By the way, I want you to know again, I'm going to die, and in 3 days, I'm going to be risen." At that point, you say, "Jesus, this is getting a little bit too far. I'm not sure if I want to be around you anymore, if this is how you're going to be talking." And then Jesus on a third time says, "I'm going to die and I'm going to be risen." At that point in the conversation, at that part in the relationship with Jesus, I'm starting to say, "I think I need new friends. I think, Jesus, you're cool, but I think I want to distance myself from you, because people that start talking about their death and resurrection, those are weird people to get along with. Those aren't conversations that we often have with each other." So the first prediction of Jesus' death, you're saying, "Oh, Jesus, you're so funny." The second prediction, Jesus says he's going to die and be resurrected, you're saying, "Jesus, are you feeling okay?" The third time Jesus says, "Hey, I'm going to die and be resurrected," that's the time when I start saying, "This is not for me. I need a new group of people to hang out with, because Jesus, you are getting to be a little bit too much." And you and I come to Jesus today thinking about the resurrection with the same apprehension. Because the resurrection is crazy. It's wild. It's not something you and I can understand fully. What we see as impossible, God seems to always see as possible. It seems like every time I bring God a situation that seems impossible, he goes, "I will raise your impossible with something that's very probable." Every time I've tried to describe to God a situation that is impossible to get through, God just seems to show up and get me through it. That's why I love Danielle's story. She presents to God a situation that sounds impossible, very scary. And God goes, "You think that's bad? Let me put your fears at ease." Because that's what Jesus does. A resurrected king can take your fear away. A resurrected king can mend your relationships. A resurrected king can make every wrong right. Because death couldn't hold him down, I trust him. If the idea of the resurrection doesn't fit in your mind, that's okay. It fits in God's mind. I think if it was you and I, we were trying to come up with a storyline, how is God going to redeem all of humanity back onto his holy self? How is he going to do it? None of us could come up with a storyline that God came up with, that he would send his perfect son to die in our place and pay the price of sin for each of us so that we could have a relationship with God again. What a generous gift. Only God could orchestrate the events of the resurrection, and only a God could make something this miraculous happen. You see, Jesus's actions, Jesus had words and Jesus had actions. So do you. You say stuff and you do stuff. But the one thing that makes you and I really different than Jesus is Jesus had complete integrity. That means Jesus' words and his actions always lined up together. You and I talk really good talk about stuff, but we don't follow through very well. How many times have you made promises about stuff that you were unable to keep? Like all the time. I mean, I make promises all the time that I'm unable to keep. But Jesus makes this crazy promise that he will die and be resurrected. And he didn't run away from that promise. He didn't try to go back and change his mind. He actually fulfilled his promise. Because Jesus has integrity. And integrity is that quality of having your words and your actions line up cohesively all the time. And integrity is a quality that you and I all want to have in our lives. And few of us are cultivating it in our lives, but Jesus modeled perfect integrity for us. His words and his actions lined up. His actions didn't contradict his words, and his words didn't contradict his actions. So today is the day that shifted all of human culture. The idea that we celebrate Easter, we celebrate the resurrection, is the day that Jesus came and did what he said he was going to do exactly. I mean, it's crazy. I cannot seem to lose 5 pounds, let alone raise myself from the dead. And Jesus can do it. Jesus kept his miraculous promise 2,000 years ago. And I want to let you know that he's been keeping his promises every single day since then. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, died, and was resurrected. And he has been faithful to all of his promises every single day since then. And this room is filled with people that have experienced new life, new dreams, new hopes, new purpose, new health, new perspective. The God that gave life to his son has now given the invitation to life to all of us. If we only put our faith in Jesus. I want to talk to you today about three things. Jesus was risen in 3 days, so I have 3 points to my sermon. It's all worked out perfectly. In Bible college, they tell you it does not count as a sermon. It's just a talk if there's only 2 points. It's a sermon if there's three. I get paid more for sermons than talks, so I'll do three. Just joking. I want to talk to you today about 3 things that the resurrection means for each of us. Everyone say, for me?
For me.
Yeah, say it with a question mark. For me?
For me.
I want to talk to you about 3 things that the resurrection means for you. When Jesus was resurrected, it set into motion like ripples through all of humanity, all of cultures. Can you picture something for me for a second? Can you picture a still, calm, beautiful, serene lake? There are none within about 100 miles of us right now, but picture you drive further than that. Can you picture this beautiful, calm, still, just glass lake? The resurrection is like a humongous boulder being hurled into the middle of the lake and just splashing down and the ripples starting to move throughout the whole lake. When I think about the resurrection of Jesus, I think of a moment just like that. Something significant happened and it's still happening. Yeah. Kind of like a boulder crashing into a serene lake. The ripples keep moving, moving, moving. And the ripples keep moving to the furthest stretches of the lake. And you and I are part of one of those ripples right here today. That the resurrection, the ripples, the movement of the power of God is just moving, 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 moving out. And it's hitting each of us right where we are, right now, today. So I want to talk about these ripples of the resurrection and what they mean for you and I today. And it's 3 really simple things, okay? 3 really simple things. The number one thing, and not in order of priority, but the first thing that the resurrection of Jesus tells you is that you are valuable. Yes. You're so valuable. When's the last time someone told you that you're valuable? More often than not, you've heard or you've thought thoughts that you're worthless, that you're good for nothing, that you're a mess, that you're a disaster, that you've screwed up too much. Those are the things that rattle in our minds a lot. But the resurrection is truth, and it says that you are valuable. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says this, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The cost to reconcile, to bring you back to God, it was a staggering cost. The cost that was paid so that you and I could have a relationship with God, it was Jesus. Pure perfection came and he died for you and me. The payment to rescue you and I from our brokenness, our shame, all of our suffering, it was something perfect. And Jesus was that perfect payment. Hey, I want you to know that I have started a little bit of an eBay business. It's going real well right now. Fortune 500 company right now. I'm selling some stuff on eBay. The thing about eBay is that you set the value to the things you sell. I have a precious moment. You ever seen precious? That's kind of my angle, is precious moments. You know those porcelain little figurines that your grandma has? That's kind of my niche in the eBay world. I'm kind of the precious moment guy, the authority. But the thing that's funny about selling stuff on eBay is you take your stuff and you determine the value of it. I mean, I could put one of my daughter's used crayons up on eBay for $2 million. I could. I mean, I've seen her artwork. It may be worth $2 million someday. I mean, I might be the father here, but I'm just saying it might be that valuable. But and when you're selling stuff on eBay, you determine the value of what that thing is. When you think about how valuable you are, think about how valuable you think you are. What if you were listening? What would it cost to redeem you back to God? How valuable are you? This is what I want you to hear today, that if God was dialoguing with you on eBay, and he says, I see you, you think how valuable you are. I see on your listing, you've quoted your value on eBay. I want you to know that I'm going to offer you way more than that. I see you as much more valuable than you see yourself. I see you've put a price here of your worth, and I want you to know that you are worth far more than that. Actually, you are worth everything I have. You're worth everything. You are valuable. These are words we don't hear very often. You are so valuable. And God, in his infinite grace and his mercy, like he looks past all of your brokenness, and he looks past all the layers of sin and shame. He looks past all of it because he's a good father. And he looks past all of your mistakes. He looks past everything you've done. And he sees this beauty inside of you. And it is so valuable to him that he was willing to send his only son. Silver, gold couldn't rescue you. The only thing he could rescue is his perfect son. You are valuable. You are valuable. You are valuable. You are so valuable. Number two. The thing that the resurrection tells me is that you belong. Think of it. Think of it. Jesus came and died on the cross to have a relationship with you because you are accepted just like you are. You belong. Listen to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says this, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from God because you always belong. Well, let's just think about what Jesus did when he was on earth, right? Let's think about the company that Jesus kept on earth. Oh, Jesus just hung out with the same people you hang out with. Prostitutes and tax collectors. Now, Jesus hung out with broken, desperate people because Jesus didn't care if you believed initially. Jesus didn't care how you behaved initially. Jesus just wanted you to always know you always belong. No matter what you've done, you always have a seat at the table. That's how Jesus lived his life. But then for us to call ourselves Christians, we just put up barriers between us and broken people. Those are the people that Jesus came to save. Those are the people that Jesus came to have relationship with. And so you and I, We got a model, Vintage Faith. I'm talking to you today. If you're a visitor here, I'm not talking to you. Vintage Faith, I'm talking to you. Everyone belongs. Everyone belongs. Dirty, stinky, broken, messed up, stoned, high, drunk. You belong. Because at some point, Jesus told you that you belong in your mess. You belong. You just belong. Nothing, absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. I mean, you, I mean, think of the worst thing the person has done sitting next to you. Think of the worst thing. Isn't that easier to think about their worst thing than your worst thing? Some of you, like, you just pinched your wife. You're going to pay for that. But think of the worst thing that anybody could do. That, even that, as crazy as it sounds, will not, cannot separate you from the love of God because Jesus is risen. You belong. You belong. You belong. Will we invite you to believe? Yeah, at some point. Will we invite you to change some of your behaviors? Yeah, sure. But think about it. Like, I got kids. You got kids. You got, your friends got kids. You got pets. Like, they belong. And we'll work on the behavior. We'll work on the beliefs later. The first step to faith for me is always in that you simply belong. Come as you are. Let's let Jesus sort out the mess. It's not my job to point out your sin because God's better at it actually than I am. So you belong, you belong, you belong. The third thing is that you are made new. You are made new. The resurrection tells me that you're valuable. It tells me that you belong. And it tells me that you are made new. Everyone say new.
New.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." When you put your faith in Jesus, it all gets new. I've preached this before because I've been doing this for a couple years. I've preached this and I say, you know what God wants to do? God wants to upgrade your life. That's kind of true. But think about an upgrade. You've been on a flight before and you got your seat upgraded. That's never happened to me. I want it to happen to me. I want your testimony to be my story, okay? But you've been on a plane and you've seen someone on Facebook, right? Just got upgraded. You're like, you stink. But when you get upgraded, you've got a bad seat. You're like, your back is up against the bathrooms in the back of the plane. And you get upgraded. If I got upgraded, just get me away from the bathrooms. That's all I want. And I used to say, in Jesus, we get upgraded. I want to tell you, I missed it. You don't get upgraded in Jesus. You get something brand new in Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, think of it this way. Think of it this way. This will actually preach better than the plane illustration. See, we think that God wants to come into our lives and he wants to slap new paint on the walls. He wants to give us new double-paned windows. He wants to upgrade the stucco. He wants to put new carpet. We think about when Jesus comes into our life, he's just going to upgrade, give us new appliances, new countertops. That's what we think, right? That misses the point of what Jesus has come to do. He came to give you a brand new life. Jesus doesn't want to come and just upgrade your life. He wants to demolish your life and build something brand new. See, sometimes I start looking for something to stand on, and that's when you start watching out Vintage Faith, because I stand on things. I've been known to stand on things. I'm looking for something. That would not hold me. I know that. See, God wants to not just come and just upgrade the facade of your life. He wants to come and demo your life and build something brand stinking new. So you came to God with your 600 square feet that you're loving, and he wants to give you 6,000 square feet, right? Where's my contractors at? I see a couple of them here. See, God wants to come in, and he wants to take down every single wall. He doesn't want to do a remodel. He wants to do new construction in your life. I tell you, and he pays for it all. That's another sermon. See, he pays for it all. It's cheaper to do a remodel, but Jesus came, and he paid it all so you could have a brand new life. I'm getting way too much energy right now. Someone gave me a cold brew coffee and hello. Nitro, I'm gonna be sponsored. When God came into my life, he didn't just reorganize, reshuffle my mess, like he took my mess. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
When God came into my life, he didn't just help me organize all the jacked up, stupid stuff that I was doing. He didn't just help me hide and cover up my sin and shame. No, he came and he rescued me from all of it. All of it. The resurrection tells me that God has a new life, and he has new life for you. He has new life for me. The resurrection tells us these three important things. This is all I want you to hear today. I want you to hear that you are valuable. Whatever you think you're worth, I want you to know that Jesus paid for you. I want you to know that you belong. And I want you to know that you can have a new life. Those three good reasons, those three great outcomes of the resurrection. I doubt that any of us have ever known someone that has died and been dead for 3 days and resurrected on the third day. Anybody? No. I think that's why God has given us baptism. And in a couple minutes, we're going to baptize some people. There's a dunk tank back here. I think that's why God gave us baptism, because it's hard for us to understand. What does it look like for someone to die? What does it look like for someone to be buried for 3 days and then come back and have a brand new life? What does that really look like? I'm having trouble picturing it. Baptism is such a brilliant picture of what that really looks like. Yeah. And today we're going to baptize some people. Jesus was baptized. Jesus called us to baptize other people. When we get baptized, we're saying yes to Jesus, and we're saying yes to everything that Jesus has for us. Baptism, it doesn't change anything in somebody. It's symbolic of a change that's already happened.
Yeah.
And we're going to baptize some people, and they've already met with me. We've talked. We have a little class. We talk about baptism. These are people that have put their faith in Jesus, and they want to respond to God's leading and be obedient and get baptized. I remember when I got baptized, it was 20 years ago, and it was the tipping point moment of my life. I had a life that was heading a direction, and my life headed in a total different direction when I got baptized. Because I chose to put all of my faith in Jesus, and I wanted to be obedient. And a lot of us, we want to be obedient. And for some of you, this may be the first chance to be obedient to Jesus. And so as we get things ready, can you just bear with me for a couple minutes? I got to go put my Speedo on. And some of us are gross. Don't. As we get all ready to do our baptisms, can the baptism candidates come on back?
We're so glad that you came today. We love you. God loves you. You are an amazing group of people. Hey, we love you so much. Be the church. Hopefully we'll see you next week. We love you so much. Kids, thank you. You can get your kids from the front.